Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. This episode is a Bloodstock 2023 preview show. We're going to go through kind of the bands I think you should check out. Some people you may have heard of, some people you may not have heard of. Give you a little preview into what to expect for Bloodstock 2023. But I can't really continue without saying something about what's happening at the moment currently at Wacken and by extension at Metal Days. And so recently, over the last couple of days, they stopped mechanized vehicles getting into Wacken and then eventually stopped all entry completely because the weather was absolutely horrendous and it was massive floods and it became unworkable and unmanageable to take a large amount of people into that festival. Anybody that's been to Wacken will know that it's a city. It's like Glastonbury for metal. It's a huge sprawling city with many different bits and pieces and stages of all kind of different sorts of setups and in many ways there's lots of stuff going on, lots of activity, lots of vehicles, lots of people, lots of traffic, and they prepare for this, you know. And if you've been there before, you know the routes in the way they do. They really are well organized, but sometimes you just can't beat the elements, and it's a really tough situation for Wacken now, which will affect next year. It'll affect people booking. It was sold out this year. It very quickly sells out most years. This may affect it now. This is a real sort of a real issue for them, and they've dealt with it. My heart absolutely goes out to the organisers of Wacken. It really is a difficult situation. They even had a situation where they would move the tickets over to Metal Days in Slovenia, and unbelievably so, the rain and the weather and the floods hit them as well, and they had they've had massive problems with the festival as well and not letting people in. And it's just one of those situations that is absolutely unbelievable and out of everybody's hands, and they've done the best that they could do. I've seen some wonderful stuff, though, about the metal community coming together. And rather than being angry about it, because who the fuck do you blame? You know, really, you know, there's nothing you can do if the weather just goes catastrophically bad. And you have to protect people and be safe, so you'd have to close the festival off. But there was lots of people kind of getting together and helping people out with travel arrangements and places to stay and stuff like that. And it'll be, you know, this isn't just them. This is the crew. This is bands and their crew as well, all affected by this. It was just a really, really tough situation to see. And it's still playing out as I cut this podcast now. It's still playing out now. And it's a really, really, really difficult situation. And, you know, like I say again, my heart goes out to them. It's such a... The organisers of Wacken and Metal Days as well are... They really believe in this. You can't do something of this level without believing in what you're doing and genuinely caring. You can't do it. There's no other way to do it. And they must be absolutely heartbroken to not give you and the people that went to going to Wacken. You know, people come across from all over the world. They truly do, from all over the world. And it's a bit of a trek. You know, people make this pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage. They were interning fucking Lemmy's ashes at this place. It's a mecca. It's a hub. It's a place to come and celebrate the music that you love. And, you know, let's hope the next year goes better. I've been watching some of the footage that's been out there, and it seems like it's been great. You know, they've dealt with it as best they can. The crowds aren't what they should be, but they've dealt with it the best that they can. And so I really feel for Wacken and Metal Days. Just wanted to say that before we get on with this preview about the festival happening in this country. But yeah, anything you can do to support Wacken, now the time, and Metal Days, to go on Wacken's website and buy some merch from them. That would be a very cool thing to do. Go and do that, and go and sort of share all their bits and pieces they do. Get involved, go and watch the live streams, all, you know, get really involved and really support them. You know, they are us and we are them. It could happen to us at this at a festival. It's happened to them, and we must support them in whatever way we can. With that said, let's get on to the Bloodstock 2023 preview. So we begin rightly on the Sophie Lancaster stage, Thursday the 10th, the kind of unofficial first day of Bloodstock. I say unofficial because it's not the one you see on the posters, really, when you see the lineup of bands. That's normally not really mentioned the day, kind of before it all kicks off and it all kind of starts. And it's normally, I've spoken about this before, it's normally when the coolest things happen. The kind of festival kind of unofficially starts, and so bands are kind of hanging around who are there for maybe a couple of days and staying and just checking some stuff out. You know, the fans are really, some of the most hardcore, the crew tend to go and see what's going on before it gets too busy. And it's a really cool time. It's where some of the most interesting and special stuff happens, and you see a lot of cool things. I've been at a lot of festivals and Bloodstock where I have been early on, and you kind of see the festival come to life. And Thursday's that really kind of special day when that happens. It feels like almost VIP. It feels like almost before everything kind of kicks off. It's a wonderful, and rightly so, beginning on the Sophie Lancaster stage. The Sophie stage, as we'll go through, will host a number of fantastic bands. And what I intend to do with this, with these bands, I suggest when I be walking around maybe for reasons that I'd want to see them again, but I haven't seen them before, which is the real reason you check out very rarely tour. And this first band is a good example of that. And it's King 810 or 810, however you want to kind of pronounce it. And it's an interesting, it's a controversial. David Gunn's had his number of issues and run-ins with kind of like, firearms and what have you, and being present at the Capitol during the insurgents and things like that. And it's interesting. It raises a question for another podcast where someone's the things they do, does it relate to their music, and can you listen to bands because of things that people do? It's interesting. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see them. You know, very rarely see King 810. They cancelled a few shows over in this country and Europe from not being able to get in for various reasons. But I mean, and as well, it's interesting. King 810 are a good example of, are they new metal? Is it the tail end of new metal? Is it the end of new metal, if you will? Is it? I don't know. It's an interesting one. Certainly, you know, when I'd like to hear stuff off Memoirs of a Murder being one of them, obviously, you know. And I mean, some stuff as well from the new stuff, AK Concerto Number 47, things like Red Queen, I think would work really well in a live set. And that's just going to be interesting to see. I want to see how that plays out and what goes on with them. So that's King 810. And then you get like almost completely different styles. You get Visions of Atlantis, again, on the Sophie stage. All these bands are on the Sophie stage initially before the other stages open. And Visions of Atlantis, I only recently got into them after listening to sort of a couple of the newer albums. Austrian, French, Italian symphonic metal. I mean, what's not to love with the dual vocals, you know, Clementine and Michelle doing some wonderful stuff. And they just absolutely nailed it with the Pirates album, you know, songs like Legion of the Seas and stuff. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. You know, even the deeper on the dark and Return to Lemuria, which I shared recently on social medias, was one of the songs that I really, it's wonderfully glorious. Wonderful. They understand what they are. It's absolutely wonderful. It's one of those ones where I let people, I introduce people to this album and this band when I'm like, this is what metal can be. This is another element of what metal can be. Hugely entertaining. And Visions of Atlantis, I don't know how many people are aware of Sting Seth from them. I think a wonderfully enjoyable one as well. I think they've got quite a rich catalogue, but this Pirates album, nailed, just absolutely nailed on. Perfect, you know, just understood exactly what they wanted to do and just perfectly executed. And I just want to see that, a large portion of that played. Wonderful, sort of nice, gentle introduction into the first unofficial day of Bloodstock 2023, the Thursday, the 10th. So, where do we go from here? Well, let's go straight into the next day on the Friday, the 11th. So it's Friday, the first sort of official day at Bloodstock 2023. And where are we starting? Of course, we're going to start at the Sophie stage again with Bloody Yard. I mean, I was blown away by these when they played as the guest headliners at Metal to the Masses last year. And and it's Northwest Metal anyway, so naturally I'm here for it. But they were just amazing. And, you know, I want us to hear stuff off Orchard of Corpses, you know, All Hell the Crimson King and Rupture of Mask. I want to hear then stuff. Their latest album, Distilled Aggression, is fucking it's just incredible. You know, Bloodborne is a slightly deeper cut that I really enjoyed. Donna's vocals, I said to Donna to try and get on the show, and I really need to make that happen because I think that what they're doing is fucking great. I mean, it'd be nice to hear something off Set to Fail, the EP. That'd be nice to hear as well, but that's a fucking really strong start. Honest, please do not sleep on A Bloody Yard. They are absolutely superb, and the new album is just... It's really, really, really important for them. It feels as though they really encapsulated everything they've wanted done. It's a really strong album, and keep going back to it. And I think I'll post some more tracks from that because I think it's really special. And then staying on the Sophie stage, you're going to want to check out Black Coast. I've not seen them live. I missed them. They were playing Up This Next Award, and I missed them. So festivals are another chance to kind of tick your boxes, the bands you've missed. They're only a new band. They're really kind of in the beginnings. It's essentially, you know, very, very new. Their self-titled album is absolutely phenomenal. But for me, the song I want to hear, Mental. I just absolutely am here for that. Like, it's just a fucking, it's just riffs for days. They're really special. And I'm amazed how people aren't aware of this band. How the fuck has that happened? They're fucking brilliant. But they feel as though they're just getting ready to break through. They're really interesting and really special new music. And that's the other thing that you come to a festival for, is you check out bands you haven't heard of, the new upcoming bands that get a chance to play maybe in front of a bigger crowd and kind of, you know, follow and kind of be around other larger bands and kind of craft themselves to where they need to be. Black Coast are going to be an essential. That's a really interesting and quality morning, that it's A Bloody Yard and Black Coast. And then, of course, and why haven't I said this before, you're going to want to go over to the New Blood stage. I've said this before, and it bears out that, and I need to say it again, the New Blood stage, if you're looking at the main stage, the Dio stage in a Bloodstock, and you look to your left, you can fucking see the New Blood stage. It is a hop, skip, and a jump. Go and see a band. Go in there at your break. When there's a band, you're sitting down, you've got your beer, you're watching a band in the middle of the day, and you're like, you know, okay, well, they finished. They were amazing. I've got a bit like 10, 20 minutes before the next band. I'm going to go and fucking check out a band on a New Blood stage. Please do that. And please do that on the Friday, because you've got the Devil's Henchmen, the winners of Metals to the Masses, Merseyside, and in a very tight group as well, with some spectacular bands playing. They are ready. They are next. They've got a new album on the boil now that's going to be coming out. More about that in later podcasts. I'm going to have Joe and some of the guys on the podcast as well to talk about some things. They are a phenomenal band, really, really great thrash, new thrash, with the really interesting things that they're doing and really interesting sort of things that they're adding to the genre. Superb. They're going to blow a lot of people away. You're going to want to be hearing them. Built by Hate. And you're going to want to hear stuff from the like Control from the EP. But what we really want to hear is new music, and that's what's going to be just starting out and just carving out their career. The Devil's Henchmen will be back at Bloodstock at some point, I guarantee, after this New Blood stage appearance, and they're going to be one of those bands that explode. You want to talk about bands that are exploding, that are just coming through. Devil's Henchmen absolutely represent a homegrown band working hard, producing quality music, playing great shows, winning Metal to the Masses, playing Bloodstock, going to get the recognition they deserve, going to get the reviews they deserve, and they are off and running. Fantastic, fantastic band and a great group of guys. I cannot enough stress how you need to see Devil's Henchmen. They're perfectly placed as well. You could probably catch them right in between some of the bands that you want. They've got a great placement. Please go to the New Blood stage. Even if you don't go to see the Devil's Henchmen, which why you wouldn't is fucking insanity to me. But just go and steal yourself some moments. You can literally turn round. Behind you, there's Lemmy's Bar. Pick up a pint, head over to New Blood stage, go and see some band you ain't heard before, you've never heard before, and you might not like them. You might be like, this isn't for me. Give them three songs. This isn't for me. And then go back to your scheduled program, and no problem at all. You won't miss a trick. But please do that. There's a lot of young bands who worked really, really hard in multiple phased parts of Metal to the Masses to get to where they are. This is their biggest show of their career so far. You get to see them and be a part of that. If you give it up for them, they have an amazing show. Please do that. And then we're finally getting to the Dio stage, the Ronnie James Dio stage. And for me, it has to be fit for an autopsy. I've got onto them way late after, you know, being recommended several times. We've got five studio albums, you know, I'm completely late. You know, I got in on What the Future Holds. And obviously we want to hear like Far From Heaven and stuff, you know, but it's another band where it's like, I mean, they've just finished, they've just come off a stint with Exodus, you know, they're going to be playing in Europe. They've just had like, you know, the aggression sessions with Malevolent. So we want to hear Hellions as well off that. You know, that's this is a band in an extreme realm and death and that type of scene. And they're doing some really fucking great stuff. Oh, What the Future Holds is an incredibly well-made, incredibly well-produced album. And that's what I want to see live now. I want to see that kind of replicated and then something special. Do we get deep cuts? Hopefully. You know, I do want to hear a lot of stuff off the Future Holds because that's the album that I got into. But I think that this is going to be the first time a lot of people will see Fit for an Autopsy, I feel. And on a Dio stage, I think that's just about the absolute right call. They've done a really good job of putting them there. I mean, that's a really good slot for them. And I think people are going to be like, this is a fucking great band, because they are. And then back to the New Blood stage. Why? Because you're going to be checking out Square Wild, Metal to the Masses, Manchester winners, you know, and they've only got really sort of three songs you can hear right now, Hounds being a particular one that you want to hear. So it's going to be interesting to hear what they've got to say musically, so to speak. You know, guitarist Mike Grubert from those music guys, he's been on the show before and I've been on their show. And certainly there's some things coming up that we're going to be involved in. Great player and a real finishing article to that band there. You know, Lucy's vocals are just fucking, it's brilliant. It's prog. It's, dare I say, tiny bits of this folk sort of almost going on there. It's wonderfully concocted and created and beautifully produced, and I just feel that they're going to be on everybody's lips now. They beat off some stiff competition in that Metal to the Masses Manchester, you know, and rightly so. They were from what I've heard, I wasn't at those shows, but I know people who were, and they were like that they were incredible, and I think they're going to really surprise some people. That's going to be really interesting set. That I want to hear that. I want to hear how that works with prog and sort of progressive elements in that kind of arena. That's going to be really interesting to me. And then we get to really kind of almost, dare I say, dual headliners. I don't, because that's bollocks. But what's interesting is In Flames and Killswitch. I'll talk about Killswitch in a bit. They've kind of interchanged. They've sometimes In Flames have supported Killswitch, sometimes Killswitch supported In Flames. You know, In Flames are going since the 90s, you know, a pinnacle Swedish death metal, or they probably wouldn't like that. You know, 14 odd albums and a couple of EPs, and DVDs and what have you. And, you know, essentially birthing metalcore, if you will. I mean, that's debatable. You could argue that, but certainly, you know, certainly one of the founding fathers. And then Killswitch, as we'll talk about in a sec, kind of took that and ran with it, you know, and they've been going since 99. So they're definitely one has influenced the other. What I'm trying to say is that both of them are perfect sort of co-hosts at the end of the show. In Flames, if you don't fucking know who they are and you aren't familiar with their work, the absolute shame of it. The absolute shame of not knowing that they're so important. But what sometimes gets missed when you talk about bands being, oh, these bands are important, they birthed this and they started this genre, and, you know, they're absolutely pivotal in this genre, gets lost at that they're really fucking good. You know, Clayman, and, you know, I'd like to hear that, you know, as the Flame and stuff, and, you know, it sometimes gets overshadowed by people realizing, you know, that they are a great band as well. You know, yes, we've got, you know, Come Clarity and Take This Life, and you love seeing that, but there's, you know, they've got a body of work, a rich body of work, and very diversive as well. And so, you know, I really want to hear, and I've seen In Flames a few times, and Anders' vocals are just, they're absolutely spot on. He can do those different meters and on a dime change, and to do, think about this, think about if they do a set, I think they're opening with The Great Deceiver, I think, or something like that, and their set is kind of, goes all over the map, and they've got a large back catalogue. You think you've got to do those songs and do those different styles. When they experimented, you know, with alternative music, they experimented with different things, and you know, you've got to do that as well. It's a real wealth of talent and a real strength of talent to be able to do that. In Flames on a Dio stage is perfect, absolutely perfect, and leads perfectly into Killswitch Engage headlining. You know, it's, I mean, Killswitch on a Dio stage, you know, but what's interesting, we ain't seen musically anything from Killswitch since 2019's Atonement, really, you know, and so it's, we know that there's a new album dancing around. We know it's there. We know it's, so we're going to get some new material, which is incredibly exciting always. You know, and if you're not there, they're doing a live stream on the Magenta TV, which has been absolutely superb. And like I talked about before, if you want to support, you know, the Vakken and the problems they've been having, you can see the live streams of Vakken. But you can also, if you haven't got tickets to Bloodstock, you know, you can kind of support Bloodstock as well. If you haven't been before, they'll be showing clips and videos and share and stream that. It's not as good as going, but it's as good, just the same. But I've been watching some of the live streams on Magenta TV, it's been fabulous what they're doing at Bloodstock at Vakken. But it's nice to see that you're going to be able to see some of the stuff, because it's sold out now. It sold the fuck out, Bloodstock 2023. And so the first headliners, Killswitch, are going to have a great crowd. You know, and what do we want to see? You know, we want to see Heartache and Serenade, and they're going to do that. I'd quite like to hear Temple from the Within, you know, some of the early cuts. That'd be good. And naturally, how are they not going to get away with playing Holy Diver on the Ronnie James Dio stage? How is that not going to happen? So, yes, I think that that's a perfect opening headlining band. They're going to be brilliant. And let's face it, and we all want to hear it, we want to hear new music. You know, and what's great, what's interesting, is that we talk about who the next headliners are, and we're now at that stage where we can say Killswitch are kind of like the next headliners, and who's replacing Killswitch, and that's a nice conversation to get into. But what a fantastic thing that you're going to hear stuff from, you know, the 2000s and all the way through, and new material from a band that's a band, you know, healthy. With a lot to say, with a lot to say musically, headlining a festival. There's no legacy to it. There's no fucking classic to it. That's important. That shows a future and a progression. And In Flames are kind of, it's almost like a baton pass, isn't it? If you will, the band going almost 10 years before, passed into them to kind of show the fruition of some of the seeds that they planted. So Killswitch Engage headlining on that, you know, that real first day is going to be absolutely biblical. And that's what I would check out. And moving right along to Saturday the 12th of Bloodstock 2023. And what are you going to be checking out? You have to. On the Sophie stage, right off the bat, Tortured Demon. Of course, you're going to want to check out them. Oldham's own Tortured Demon have been the epitome of a meteoric rise, but rightly so. You know, it's like, oh, these guys have just come from nowhere. But they haven't. They've been listening to metal for years, listening to thrash and all the good stuff. And this is now, you're seeing the results of that, you know, ever since the debut, you know, Desperation's Grip EP. And even now to the fully formed Rise of the Lifeless, you know, I mean, from the intro, you know, imagine this intro at Bloodstock when this kicks in, that Empire Condemned, you know, just superb. Just a band completely understand who they are, completely understand what they're doing, and completely adore the music they're doing. And have just put themselves in a really beautiful produced space. You know, Jacob and Billy's guitars are just fucking absolutely on point. They're the finished article. This album is absolutely superb. I've been sharing a lot of it on social media. It's fantastic. Lord knows where they're next set up now. They're already doing great support. This will be special, ladies and gentlemen. This will be special on the Sophie stage. You have to see. This is one of those ones where you'll look around going, fucking hell, there's a lot of people here to see this band, and they will absolutely deliver. They're a big support away from absolutely coming to the next level. They've already reached the next level really, really quickly. And why? And how have they done that? Because they are really good metal. And then speaking of good metal, I mean, on the Dio stage, this is great. I haven't seen this band live yet. This will be one of the bands I'll be seeking out. I'm adoring everything they're doing. It's employed to serve. You know, just vocals Justine's vocals are just otherworldly. Just what they're doing is incredible. I mean, they're touring out with Gojira at the moment, and it's like, you know, we're only four albums in and already, you know, just some amazing stuff. Like, you know, all the stuff on Greater Grey Than You Remember, like, you know, the wonderful Watching Films to Forget You Exist is just modern metal. I mean, just so well, you know, for me, I want to hear Sun Up to Sun Down from Conquering Odds. The newer stuff is just, they're gaining their stride. It's so exciting to see bands gain stride and gain confidence in what they're doing and risk more and delve deeper into what's going on and their influences. And Employed to Serve are just spectacular. They're like, they're one of those future headliners. There's a few more albums and they've got a really, really interesting and evolving and progressively new body of work there on the Dio stage. And that's going to be fucking brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. Most people get to view them and see them live. I've not seen them live yet, seen tons of videos. I've never seen them live to my disappointment. So we really want to see Employed to Serve on the Dio stage. And then we're going to hang around the Dio stage, a little bit of a break, I think. So there's time to get to that New Blood stage. But it's Crowbar. Why would you not see Crowbar and enjoy, you know, some New Orleans doom and Kirk been doing this shit since the 80s, you know? And it's like, you know, I mean, what do we want to hear? Obedience, you know, Four Walls, Symmetry and Black, Walk with Knowledge Wise, is got to be. They're just fucking, there's so many bands borrowed from Crowbar, really are a legacy act in that respect. So many bands have took lots of stuff what they're doing. And, you know, it's not for nothing. Kirk's a fucking sweetheart. He's a lovely guy. And guys who do truly fucking filthy riffs for him can be truly nice because they let it all out on the guitar. And speaking of complete filth, you're going to be going over to the Sophie stage and you're going to be watching Casket Feeder. Very late to the party with Casket Feeder, me. You know, APF Records did some stuff with them. That's how I kind of got into Casket Feeder. And, you know, stuff of Servants of Violence, you know, Vulture Culture. Is seething, it's absolutely biting and seething with aggression. Even their new single, you know, Moral Hysteria, is fucking amazing. They're fucking brilliant. There's elements of all bands that you love, and they've just done the same thing. They've just wrote off the back from that and wrote what has become Casket Feeder. Take all your influences and spill them out, and that's on the Sophie stage. That's just going to be fucking great. What a set that will be to see, because they've grown into this wonderful thing. And this is, have you noticed a thread in what I'm saying? These bands are new and growing, and sit right alongside established bands and legacy bands as well. I don't mean legacy. It always sounds bad when someone says legacy, like the time's done. Fucking Crowbar's newest album's just as good as fucking most of the stuff they've done. You know, and then we get a really interesting situation. So, you know, you get that out just before this. There is a mini acoustic Megadeth show apparently on the Saturday for VIP. People, and that's going to be interesting. I wonder what that would be like. You know, Megadeth have done acoustic stuff before. It's not unknown to them. They could do some really interesting things there. And I'll talk, because obviously I will, on the next day. But that's going to be interesting. That's happening today. That might be worth checking out, that if you are VIP or you can get hold of tickets and get to see that. But for me, on the Dio stage again, Triptychon playing Celtic Frost, you know, which what an interesting situation that is. Anthrax sadly couldn't do it, so they had to get someone to replace them, and then not only replace someone, but, you know, almost kind of over deliver getting them to play Celtic Frost stuff. You know, Tom Gabriel doing everything from sort of 84 Morbid Tales to 85, you know, Megatheron and stuff. You know, I think the UK's always loved Celtic Frost. Like, I think they've always loved it. And, you know, like, of course we want to hear, you know, Morbid Tales and Visions of Mortality. I think, you know, I still think they haven't got the recognition that they deserve and how important they are and how many, they're almost, I mean, a lot of people call them avant-garde because they took lots of chances and they did lots of left turns and that weren't expected. And I found that was the thing that drew me to the Frost. Originally I was like, well, no album sounds the same as another. And that's a power. That's a wonderful thing. So then playing that, I took a sneaky peek at some of the previous times they've done it, and there's some fucking great stuff going on there. And I hope they duplicate that and maybe offer up some surprises as well. We can only hope that's a really nice thing to happen that at the show, considering that, you know, the Anthrax couldn't do it. And then it's headliners at the Dio stage. I'd be staying mainly around the Dio stage, it looks like. I'll be main stage coop on this one. And it's Meshuggah. Of course it's Meshuggah. And if the Frost aren't fucking, you know, are underrated and undervalued by people that don't know, Meshuggah most definitely are underappreciated to the nth degree, I believe. There's people in the metal community, if you know, Meshuggah since fucking 87 or whatever, you know, 9 albums deep or something we are now. You know, constantly moving forward, constantly inventive, constantly interesting. You know, I've read people saying it's like Einstein metal and stuff, but it's just evolving. It's like it answers the question of is metal dumb? Is metal, you know, is it kind of Neanderthal? Is it not doing anything interesting musically? Meshuggah are doing that. You know, are doing very complicated polyrhythms and stuff. And sometimes it's maybe not as complicated as you think. It's just delivered in a very interesting way. And, you know, Contradictions collapsed back in 91. You know, we want to hear stuff digging back into that. But, I mean, I like things, you know, and you want to hear Bleed, and of course. And I like Broken Cog from Immutable. I think that's a fucking great tune, that. And Swarm, maybe off Colossus, maybe that they'd be nice to hear those songs. But what, you know, the first thing people come to with Meshuggah is, oh yeah, it's very technical, and yeah, it's very complicated and intelligent metal. In some way that belies the fact that it's just fucking good songs. It doesn't. The two can mutually exist, and in Meshuggah they do. And this feels like, this is something that Bloodstock do a lot, and they do really well, is they take a band and give them a deserved spotlight. A deserved spotlight where it's like, look, we fucking love this band. This is great. And if a few more people can recognise these bands, that I think the world would be a better place. You know, rather to the newest album, you know, Meshuggah are one of those bands, important, great, and still doing important work. And they've never really got that time. So this feels like, I'm sure they've headlined smaller festivals before, but they've never had to ask the larger festivals. And this is Bloodstock doing those wonderful things, you know, but this is a heart booking, and all the people involved in that, Adam and Cy and all the people involved in the booking and putting together of this program have done it with heart. These are what they want to see. That's why it works, you know. And these are like, well, I think this band deserves to get the headline slot. Meshuggah absolutely deserve that. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do, how they handle that, how they give an ebb and a flow of a set and work it out. I think it's going to be incredibly exciting. That's Meshuggah headlining the Dio stage on Saturday the 12th, before we move on to the next day. Okay, so we're into the final leg, the last day, Sunday. Bloodstock 2023, and of course we're going to open it with the new Blood stage. So we've talked about a few bands being on this new Blood stage, and we continue that with Dystopian Sun, North Wales Metal to the Masses winners. Still haven't caught them live. This is fun. There's so many bands coming out, and they're fucking catching fire straight away, and it's getting them to see them before they're going to be blowing up. I mean, on streaming services you only got 4 singles. But, you know, I mean, Lifeline, that song Lifeline, that intro, 100% they should open with that intro. Dystopian Sun, another one of those special bands. People are like, where are the next bands coming from? Why isn't anybody doing interesting stuff anymore? Dystopian Sun are doing this, these interesting things, this progressive, sort of interesting takes on modern metal. We're getting it now, we're getting it locally. You can see these bands for a couple of quid at your local venue now. You can see these bands before they blow up, and you're like, oh, we should see them when they were, you were playing smaller shows before they blow up and play bigger academies and go off to the races, you know. And that continues with, you know, favourites of the show. They've been on the show before, got to talk to them just before they won the Leeds Metal to the Masses, and that's Godeath. And what a story Godeath have, in so much as the, you know, few issues at the start, a bit of a kind of an interesting start, and then they replace the vocalist. Miles comes in as the vocalist, and I think it's his first or second show is one of the Metal to the Masters phases, Heat, and then he's the win, and he's going to do that, and then he's going to produce new material, because then his eyes looking at him, and absolutely kills it. you know, with Solace, the new song that's out. I mean, there's good. They've got great stuff already, like Scold, but Solace comes out, and it's absolutely fucking exceptional groove metal. And they right out the park, they've just knocked it. They're going to absolutely be massive. That if one of the new blood stage bands to really look out for is Good Death, because I think they're going to take a lot of people by surprise. People are going to be like, holy fuck, this is an incredibly polished outfit. Now, I haven't even got a fucking EP, really, or an album out by them. So I think I'll try and get them on the show again before they talk about the experience, because they're going to get down really, really well. It's Good Death on the new blood stage. And then, biased again, on the Dio stage, it's Ugly Kid Joe. Of course, it's the Joe. My friends in the Joe. I mean, I'm biased because I love them and work with them, you know, so it's always nice to talk about friends, but they're a reason they've been around a long time. They're a great band. They're a great band, you know what I mean? And what do you want to hear? Apart from the obvious things like Everything and Cats and that type of thing, I want to hear the other stuff. I want to hear Neighbor as well, Panhandle and Prince, No One Survives. And my personal favourite, VIP, I hope they put that in the set. That'd be great. They're just, you know, there may be some surprises. Whit Scott, you know, knows everybody because he's a fucking super nice guy. They're all super lovely human beings. You know, Klaus in particular is just a great player, great guitar player. You know, that guitar that he has, the white one, is the one he made when he was in shop, as they call it, the sort of workshops when he was a kid, and he's still touring with that. But, you know, they've just got apps. Even the new stuff is great, like Failure and stuff that's come up now. Great, they've just kept a continuing line of being a great, great band. But more than anything, they are a great live band. They will get, like, they need any fucking help. The Bloodstock crowd will absolutely be on side for them, and they'll really pull them in. That's Ugly Kid Joe on the Dio stage is just an absolute winner for me all day long. There might even be some surprises, like I say. Hopefully there will be. And then you get, also on the Dio stage, you get Sepultura. And, you know, well, there's obviously many versions of Sepultura, isn't there? You know, we have the Max, and then we have Derek and you know, and on all this type of thing, and, you know, and people leaving and coming back. So it's difficult to always assess Sepultura. I mean, some of the newer work often is still in the shade because the original work was so strong. And yes, we want Roots to Refuse and maybe Mass Hypnosis and stuff, but this is a band continually growing. Let's listen to, I mean, then the Quad was a fucking great album, and Autumn, that's a fucking great song. You know, and Andreas is still, you know, one of my favourite players in the genre. And just a really great individual sound, all of his own, that he's carved out there. And Sepultura have just got, they've an embarrassment of riches. They've got so many great songs. They could do anything they want to. But what I want you to do is I want you to, like, you know, be there for the big hits. But let's just, you know, they've been going a long time now. If they've been going longer with Derek than they have with anybody else, I think that might be the case. Sepultura, just watch the show and enjoy the show, enjoy the whole thing. And that's Sepultura on a Dio stage. I've seen all forms of them. I've seen them, you know, the classic lineup. I've seen when you know, when there was at the issues at Download. I've seen Derek in smaller, bigger shows and everything in between. I've seen them a lot of times. They've always delivered, absolutely always delivered every single time. And then we get to sort of, like, you know, it's one of the big headliners, really, for me anyway, because I watched the set of Wacken and some bits and pieces out, and was blown away. You know, it's the German power metal pioneers, Halloween. I mean, since 84, these guys have been fucking absolutely, you know, stalwarts of that scene. You know what I mean? The Zenith and the Mountain being the Keeper of the Seven Keys, parts one and two. And but all the way up to the, you know, the self-titled album in 2021, it's still, you know, it's still just a great songs, you know what I mean? Forever One, yes, you know, Fly Free. These are great songs. And, you know, dead aside from the stage show, looks absolutely fucking incredible with that giant pumpkin and stuff. It's just it's a great band with a great bunch of songs. They've got riffs for days, but they've got songs too. Halloween. I've never seen them live. What, they got like 16 albums or something? 16, 17 albums. And I've never seen them live. I don't know how often they play here on their own. I can't remember the last time I've seen them. Another reason why you go to a festival. And this is a real reason. The next one is on the Sophie stage, and it's Zeal and Ardor. Now, loads of people, I've been talking to about this band, and a lot of people have never even heard of them. what an amazing project this is. You know, and Emmanuel Gaix, I believe that's how you pronounce it, forgive me if it's wrong. You know, it's Swiss avant-garde and absolutely superb. It's just a wonderful mix ever since Stranger Fruit. You know, I got onto it and I was like, what the fuck? What is this? It's amazing. Why? And it draws from so many wonderful, rich influences, like I say. You know, things like Gravedigger's Chant. What even is that? Who cares? It's amazing. You know, but then they really kind of got it together and really kind of, you know, polarized what they were doing with the self-titled album. And then, you know, Feed the Machine. Oh, my life. That intro and then that switch into essentially black metal. It's just absolutely fucking incredible. And I think they're going to surprise some people. If you're not sure, that's why you should check them out. You know, Zealand Ardor on the Soviet stage feels special. I feel like that's going to be a special moment. It shows what metal can do when it goes beyond what its confines are. And Moel is doing 100% is doing amazing stuff with that. Zealand Ardor on the Soviet stage, absolutely essential viewing there. And then obviously, we get to the headliners on the Dio stage, Megadeth. Of course, you're going to want to see Megadeth. You know, just consistently great Megadeth. You know, the latest album was fucking front to back was absolutely superb. They're really on the cusp of, I think, it's great playing throughout all the time. Yes, you know, we talk about the classic Megadeth lineup, but this lineup now with Kiko and stuff is getting close to being a classic lineup. Yes, as well, we've seen a Vakin that Marty surprised and played some songs there as well, so hopefully he'll turn up, because that'll be really nice. He did stuff in Japan, because obviously that's where he lives now, and he did some stuff at Vakin, so it seems like it's going to be a really nice thing to assume that Marty's going to guest. I mean, the Vakin show looked fucking incredible, front to back looked incredible. You know, going from Hangar 18 to Wake Up Dead is just fucking riff-a-roller, isn't it? And then, you know, playing Mechanics or Four Horsemen, as some may know it, into Peace Cells. What the fuck? That's just... just still great, still amazing, and still great playing. They played Bloodstock before, so they've now got an opportunity to play some maybe slightly deeper cuts, just one or two deeper cuts in there that they didn't play before. I think it'd be nice to experience that. But Megadeth headline at Dio stage is a perfect way to end your festival, except Biohazard are technically finishing it on the Sophie stage. Biohazard. I mean, what do you want to say? I adore Biohazard. Just before we get into that, you know, he's doing the Circle of Brotherhood at 7:15 on the Sunday as well. That's a seminar on modern masculinity and male mindfulness, which is incredibly important and fascinating thing. And then Billy is doing a jiu-jitsu seminar at Gracie, the Gracie family jiu-jitsu seminar as well. And that just seems, I am absolutely 100% for this type of content that happens at a festival now, where it's things away from the music that are completely connected to it and born from it as well. I've often suggested to Bloodstock that I do the Spoken Metal show live there. I know some of the people who do that listen to this show. If you're listening to this now, I'd love to come and do a Spoken Metal show there. You know, I just think it'd be a perfect environment for it. Let's come down and do the show and do an hour or so or 2 hours of the show. But I love the fact that bands are now coming with their own projects and their own personal beliefs and stuff, and but folding it in that, because metal is more than the music. It's the community that's born from that. Evan's journey is incredibly important, and he's sharing that with the audience. It's a wonderful, you know, wonderful thing. And so, yes, we want to hear... you know, when they play, we want to hear Tales from the Hard Side and Down for Life and, you know, and all this type of thing. And Biohazard are just great sort of, you know, hardcore mixing with metal and that type of thing. For me, personally, the song they're never going to play it, are they? But the song I want to hear played is off the Demon Knight soundtrack, which is Beaten. Because I just think when he comes in, that one snap on the drums and then he comes in with that bend, just fucking... that's fucking brilliant. That's perfect Biohazard to me. That's the way I see it. And so that'll be a wonderful ending. And they're doing some wonderful service by bringing their sort of seminars and their conferences to festivals as well. It enriches the festival. This festival is important, ladies and gentlemen, you need me to tell you. If you're listening to this on the way down there, I really hope you have a safe journey. Get there in one piece and really enjoy the festival. Thanks for listening to the show. If you're heading down there, if you're on a tour bus somewhere and you're listening to this, you know, get excited because Bloodstock audience gives it fucking up. And you're going to be in safe hands because they really look after the bands. It's a wonderful place to play. Bands love playing Bloodstock because they're treated so well, from the press to the stage crew. Everybody on it is absolutely top. And the new Blood Stage, if you're going to be playing that, work with the guys on there. They work incredibly hard. I've had several people on the show who run the new Blood Stage, and they work incredibly hard to make you the rock stars that you deserve to be. Work with them. Use your head. You know, be nice, be courteous, and play really fucking well. And that's what is expected. There's lots of stuff on offer at this Bloodstock. This looks amazing. This particular Bloodstock lineup just looks amazing. I've only hinted at the bands that I would go and see. There's a ton of bands I've missed out, I'm sure. And please, you know, in the comments, just say if there's anybody that I've missed. But for now, you know, I hope you enjoyed my preview of Bloodstock 2023. And I'll see you at the show.